Welcome to Revealing Men, conversations that pull back the curtain, revealing the inner lives of men. I'm Randy Flood, psychotherapist and director of the Men's Resource Center of West Michigan. Today we have principal therapist Otha Brown, who's the principal therapist of our Young Men in Transition program we call Progressions. Otha has devoted his professional life to shepherding and counseling adolescent males and young men in this difficult transition from boyhood to manhood. He's worked with a variety of teens and young men in education and university settings, as well as today as a counselor running men's groups in the Domestic Relationships Program and in the Progressions Program. So welcome, Otha.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah. So let's start with talking about this phenomenon that is growing in America. It's called different things such as failure to launch, but we understand it to be a problem. We're noticing it at the center here, hence the program. But nationally, according to our one researcher, about 20% of emerging adults have trouble transitioning into their adult life. And another study says that around a third of young men are still living at home, a number that has doubled in the last 30 years. And again, whether those numbers are exactly right or wrong, we do know that there is a trend in this direction of these young men struggling to transition. And so I'm wondering kind of what some of your thoughts are, what you're seeing in the room with these young men. What's contributing to this, you think?
Well, and to a large degree, I hear men talking about their adolescent development and things that happen at home. Mm-hmm. More families are experiencing divorce, and it's almost becoming commonplace. But these types of things are disruptive to family life, and when we think about what's happening with these young men who are arrested in their development and staying home and not leaving home, not finding work. And well, it's for a number of different reasons and family, family distortions contribute to that.
Yeah, I think that some might say, well, gosh, you know, there was substance abuse, dysfunctional families back in the 50s. And so why are we seeing this today? And I just think that there's something about the kind of the evolution of gender roles and more women in the workplace and the empowerment and civil rights movement. There's different things that are going on. The increased cost of college education for young men, not enough emphasis on focusing on trades. I mean, there's just a lot. The advent of video games and gaming, where people are getting lost in the internet world. Just wonder, there's more going on. And I just wonder what your thoughts are about that.
Oh, yeah. Because, life goes on and our society is advancing. And like you said, we have kids that are spending enormous amount of times playing video games, mm-hmm. and their peer group is so into video games. Whereas in former days, we were thinking about what are we going to do as we grow up. Many of these men are just thinking about, oh, I'm playing the latest video game. And, you know, with smoking pot, you know, mm-hmm. back in earlier times, we weren't as open about smoking pot, and not as many guys were doing it, but now is really accepted. And right. Substance use disorders attribute a lot of this staying home right. and not moving on and not getting direction.
Right. And if you have a young man who's maybe struggling with ambition, and then they develop a substance use disorder, mm-hmm. With cannabis, I mean, it can really, really impact their, and then they're also addicted maybe to video games. You take that tandem, makes it really hard for them to launch, I would imagine.
Exactly. And, you know, this is prevalent in the peer group as well. That's a very important contributor to mm-hmm. what we're seeing with young men having trouble getting out of the house, leaving home. You mentioned the rising cost of education. Right. Well, everyone knows you need an education to get along in this world. And I've seen some guys that just are not even thinking about it. and not pursuing getting enough financial aid or getting enough money to get into college, and
right,
they're not going for it.
And do you see? I mean, there's such an emphasis now on training young men in the trades, and I just wonder, is that seen as inferior to going to college, or is that too hard of work, or what do you talk to young men about? You know, if they don't want to go to college, the whole idea of, you know, well, what else might you want to do? Or
yeah, that's a smaller part,
mm-hmm,
because it's not advertised and promoted as much. I mean, men who have the tradesmen in their families, well,
right,
then they would know about it.
Yeah.
But if you don't have a tradesman in your family, you likely would not think about, hey, I could make it in a trade.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of support for guys going into trades. But we have our discussions about employment, mm-hmm, moving on. And guys, when we make it a point in the group, then guys can focus on it.
Right.
But when they're at home or around family, their minds are also elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And this doesn't get considered. Usually the mind is on what's happening in the family.
Right.
It's a big distraction.
So this becomes a positive male socialization process, essentially. And that's why I think we like what we do in our group work with men. We find it effective in the different kinds of groups we run here. And this one is similar in that when you get young men together, and they might have gotten there for different reasons. One might have gotten kicked out of school. Another one got in trouble with the law. Another one, you know, the parents are on them about, you know, getting out of the basement and getting out of the house and getting a job. But they come together and they find something in common, even though what might have gotten them there is different.
Yeah. And some of them have experienced failed relationships and, you know, of course, and having experiences with domestic violence in their own families. Mm. And getting together, I make the point that to survive, you really do need a peer group. You need a peer group that's oriented towards positive goals, positive aspirations, someone to hear what your life has encountered and give you feedback. And also you need to hear other people's life stories and give feedback,
right,
as well. It's an important part of our development as men.
Right. And you're in the room as a grand poopah. Right. And I think there's a little bit of that missing in our culture. I think sometimes the whole tradition of male mentoring and elders coming into children's lives and to be able, you know, and historically it could have been grandfathers, it could have been people from faith communities, but there is somewhat of a disconnection that has taken place in the isolation that these young men feel of being alone, and to have the richness of being in the room with live peers, not chat rooms necessarily.
Exactly.
Not that there's something inherently evil about internet connections, but but if that's all you have, then there's a sense of isolation that can grow. And so being in the room with you as a male elder, talking to them, encouraging them, helping them be accountable is pretty powerful for them.
Yeah. You know, I work with younger kids, but I work with this group and they are still amazed to be able to spend time talking with someone of my age, okay? Because I have a depth of history to my life and they like to hear how things came to be and what to expect. And not many guys have that in their own households nowadays. So we get a big circle in terms of what we talk about. It really can go in many different ways because there are lots of interests in the rooms and the groups, and guys find it supportive.
Right. One of the problems that we're seeing that brings some of the guys in that we mentioned, they come in through different pathways. One of them is through the legal system. Mm-hmm. And some of these guys come in because they've gotten into trouble for sexting sending pictures, receiving pictures that maybe right. are inappropriate. They've mm-hmm. gotten into trouble because they've, what we call, they're under-socialized. They haven't been popular. They haven't had the girlfriend. They haven't had the experience. Right. And so they're kind of lost and wandering around as an 18-year-old, 19-year-old. Then all of a sudden they show up at a party mm-hmm. and meet maybe what is a mature 15-year-old. And then there's not getting to know each other. There's alcohol involved or whatever. And then there's a sexual encounter. And so now they're in trouble.
Right.
So you're seeing that a lot. Are these kids coming in through that?
Yeah, yeah. Guys that would not have a lot of experience making relationships for themselves and mm-hmm. Would proceed really quickly into, a lot of intimate relating to someone that they really don't know. And oftentimes that does turn out to be wrong because that young lady has a family and that family's not happy that she's having sex with an older guy.
Right.
And next thing you know, this guy's in court. Mm-hmm. And it may be surprised that, he's been charged, but nevertheless, he's been charged because mm-hmm. his experience and his approach to getting a relationship started was so lacking.
Right.
And so, but he comes into the group, he gets quickly educated in terms of what went wrong. And many times these guys are coming in saying, I will never do something like this again. Right. I will never do something. I say, okay, that's good. But now what will you do?
Right.
Let's talk about what you can do and how you can move yourself past this experience in life.
Right.
So unfortunate, but the guys that make it into the group are glad that they did. And they're
right.
not happy about what happened to them to get them into the group. But then when they get there, they're really glad
right.
because we're working on things they really want to know about.
Right. And do you find that, I remember you and I having a conversation that it was hard to get the young men to talk to each other again. It's kind of like the cool pose of, you don't want to let someone behind the mask or someone, behind the curtain. So they kind of go in there initially and don't want to really relate or talk or acknowledge mistakes. And it right. takes a lot of effort on your part sometimes to grease the wheels, huh?
Yeah, it does. The social scene is that guys are, they're cool. They don't talk much. They don't express much emotion. Mm-hmm. But that's because they've been socialized that way.
Right.
But then guys really do want to talk. They really do want to express what they're feeling and thinking and going through. So they need permission. They need help in getting past that socialization barrier and open up to each other. And man, do they open up. Because I'm sometimes amazed
yeah.
at what they get into once they realize, no, this is for real. You don't have to pretend. This is an actual safe place where you can talk, you can experience other people's experiences and contribute, and it really winds up good.
Yeah, that kind of supports the Niobe Ways research, the developmental psychologist who did that longitudinal study and followed kids from grade school into middle school, high school, college. And she found out at about middle school that boys will stop being intimate with their friends and they'll right. start, pursuing more sexual intimacy. And so to give them permission that it's not to be open and be interested and care for another young man, a friend of yours, is not about sexual interest. It's about caring for another human being.
Right.
And opening up and talking about your life is not about weakness. It's about sharing your humanity and sharing mm-hmm. what's really going on and being honest about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're experiencing a lot of good things in our progressions, group therapy sessions. And mm-hmm. I'm really pleased at how it's going. Get more people in there. It'd be great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if someone's interested, they are thrown right into the group. Do they see you first? How's that work?
Yeah, I meet with, I do a thorough evaluation and assessment mm-hmm. and really talk over areas that a young man is interested in talking about and more about what I want to know about his life. So I spend about two sessions mm-hmm. where we really get to know each other. And that's really helpful because throughout the group, I'm able to help in areas that we've identified
right
beforehand.
Okay.
And then, then you're scheduled and into the group.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for the work you do with the young men. And I think it's a really great opportunity to use your expertise and life experiences to be a shepherd, a mentor, a counselor for these young men. So thanks for coming today and talking with me about it.
So welcome. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Revealing Men. If you're looking for more information about counseling, coaching, and consultative services, please visit the Men's Resource Center of West Michigan online at menscenter.org. Also, feel free to contact us on our website if you have questions about this segment, ideas for a topic, or would like to be a guest on the Revealing Men podcast. Please take a moment to subscribe and leave us a rating so others can find us. Be well and have a great day.